When I was a teenager and started working my first job at age 15, I remember I had an older coworker who used to say, "Life is suffering." Now, at the time, I thought it was just something that bitter old people said because they hated everyone or just hated life. But later on, in retrospect, this notion came to me that maybe he was quoting the Buddha. So the first noble truth of Buddhism states that life invariably involves suffering. Not occasionally, not if things go badly, invariably. And when I really think about it, that's one of the most honest sentences ever written. But somewhere along the way, we decided that suffering was optional. And that if we just tried hard enough and optimized enough, bought the right supplements and meditated on the right overpriced yoga mat, we could just hack our way out of pain. There was even that quote that people sometimes post on social media, "Pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional," which sounds enlightened until you realize upon further reflection, it's basically become the mantra of a culture that refuses to sit with anything uncomfortable. Sure, on a certain level, it's true. Pain is a fact of life, it's biological. Suffering is the story we spin around it. But I think the problem arises when we're told suffering is optional, we start believing that we should never have to suffer at all, and that suffering is something to be eliminated at all costs as soon as possible. So we numb it and we distract ourselves in a multitude of ways into oblivion, anything but actually accept it and endure it. And so, there's a great deal of self-medicating these days. I think we treat suffering now the way we treat a leaky faucet. It's annoying and inconvenient. It's something you hire someone else to fix so you don't have to get your hands dirty. And it's not that people before us didn't suffer. They, of course, suffered constantly. But I think the difference is that they were fluent in it. They knew how to sit with it and endure it. They accepted it and understood how to walk with it and walk through it and learn from it. They buried children, they fought wars, lost farms, starved through winters, and nonetheless somehow maintained the fortitude to keep going. Now I know, we go through similar things these days, of course, but it does seem like on a certain level, it's changed. Our reality, our experience has changed. It's like, example, we get ghosted and then we spend the next 6 weeks journaling like we've survived the Battle of Stalingrad. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand these are different times, different circumstances, and I'm definitely not saying we should bring back polio or something just to toughen everyone up. But I do think it's strange and interesting that somewhere along the way, we lost the ability to embrace suffering as a natural part of the human condition. To suffer without immediately applying an anesthetic like Netflix or motivational podcasts that sound like someone shouting at you through a protein shake. And maybe the tragedy, you know, maybe that's the tragedy. Yes, life is hard. But we've forgotten to do hard without turning every aspect of it into a pathology. All right. So if we've forgotten how to suffer, I think it's worth asking, what did the people who actually knew what they were doing do? Now, my guess is they didn't swipe right on happiness. They sat with the awful and they stared it in the face. And sometimes they even invited it in for coffee. So let's go back to the Buddhas for a minute. That first noble truth, it's not supposed to be a mood killer. It's more like a syllabus. Life is suffering, not optional, not an inconvenience. It's like the class you didn't register for but are stuck attending anyway. And Buddhism doesn't hand you a cheat sheet. It just teaches you to see suffering clearly and to acknowledge it without flinching. And eventually to walk through it, ideally without adding more suffering on top. Now, to me, that sounds like radical acceptance before anyone invented that term. Okay, on the other hand, we've got Stoicism, another group of humans who weren't afraid of the dark. So the Stoics took a slightly different route. Epictetus started life as a slave and ended up becoming one of the most respected philosophers in history. He had every reason to complain. But instead, he said, "We cannot choose our external circumstances, but we can always choose how we respond to them." In other words, suffering isn't optional, but the way you carry it is. You can shake your fist at the storm and, or you can stand in the rain thinking, well, at least it washes the smell off. So even Western religious traditions understood this. Christianity calls suffering a path to growth, kind of like a fire that refines the soul. Not get a better life coach, but refine the soul. Of course, the Stoics would probably roll their eyes at the melodrama, and the Buddhists would roll their eyes at the guilt. But the point, it's nonetheless the same. Suffering is the curriculum. Pain is the teacher. Ignore the teacher at your peril. And what I find fascinating and somewhat tragic is how much modern culture has flipped all this on its head. It seems that these days suffering is viewed as a malfunction. It's a diagnosis, a problem to outsource. And that's exactly what we do. Because now we pathologize heartbreak and we medicalize stress and outsource grief to podcasts and wellness retreats, etc. And even radical honesty, the simple and terrifying act of looking at life without spin, is more or less treated as self-help clickbait. So we've surrounded ourselves with so much distraction and so much noise that the hardest thing we can do is nothing. Sit in the quiet and feel the weight of it all. And let the grief, anxiety, loneliness, and despair exist for a moment without immediately trying to cancel or mute them. And that's why radical honesty and radical acceptance are so radical. They're not trendy hacks. They're like a rebellion against distraction and comfort, against the cultural assumption that you can anesthetize yourself through life without ever having any consequences. If we want to reclaim the ability to truly live, to actually feel, we might have to relearn the art of suffering, the one skill no TED Talk is ever going to teach you. Okay, so here's the thing about living in a world designed to distract you 24/7. Suffering doesn't disappear. It just gets redistributed, buried, or it just gets ignored until it shows up like a very drunk relative at your front door. And if you look around, we are not really allowing ourselves to feel true sadness anymore, or anything. We're just preoccupied with scrolling. We don't grieve. We binge watch. And we are not facing reality and wrestling with uncertainty. We're just endlessly doom scrolling through these news feeds that are curated to make us just anxious enough to click the buy button or the like button. And when genuine human problems do hit, like a breakup or a death or what have you, we end up panicking because we've never had to sit in the uncomfortable, unfiltered presence of pain. We don't let ourselves truly feel. We don't let ourselves be vulnerable in that way. We don't have the tools. And it seems that even our relationships are becoming transactional. Emotional intimacy is now more often like a subscription service. We're swiping right or left, send a gift, blocking, ghosting, repeat. So the raw, messy work of really facing someone else's suffering and your own is considered optional. If we can't outsource our suffering to apps and therapists or motivational podcasts, we treat it like a malfunction in the matrix. Okay, so this constant avoidance, it isn't just inconvenient, it's corrosive. It turns anxiety into a permanent background hum. It's just always there. And I think this ends up making loneliness feel like it's insurmountable. It leaves people hollow, unable to handle the inevitable punches life is going to throw. Because the truth is, life will punch you where it hurts sooner or later. And when your only experience with punches is distraction with curated content and endless dopamine hits, the real thing is catastrophic. Think about radical acceptance here for a minute. This isn't about stoic grimness or toxic positivity. It's about saying, okay, this sucks. I can feel it, but I can exist with it. And radical honesty is the same. It's looking at yourself, your failures, your fears, and naming them without dressing them up for social media. Pain becomes intelligible, even navigable, once you stop pretending it's just a glitch. And yet, society treats this like a luxury. Sit with your pain is advice we post online in the morning, scroll past at lunch, and then by dinner time we've forgotten all about it. We've created a culture where the raw human curriculum, the unavoidable suffering, is optional. Which explains why we're anxious and unfulfilled and angry half the time. Not necessarily because life is harder. It's that we no longer know how to inhabit our own hardships. Now, personally, I think there's, I find the dark humor in all this. It's just, one of the ways I cope. It's funny that the same culture that can stream endless comedy specials and deliver food in 30 minutes has simultaneously removed our ability to handle a broken heart. But the punchline is, it is rather cruel. The harder you try to avoid suffering, the more it seems to sneak back in, usually disguised as depression and resentment. Okay, so what's the takeaway here? Modern distraction isn't convenience, it's a crutch. And if we want to reclaim our lives and our relationships, if we want to take back our minds, I think we need to stop treating suffering like a bug and start treating it like a class. Mandatory, unavoidable, and probably the best teacher we're ever going to have. So, we know we've been doing it wrong. We've outsourced and distracted, medicated, and basically optimized our way out of suffering. But what if we decided just for a moment to actually sit with it? It's similar to meditation in the sense that we don't try to block distracting thoughts. We let the thoughts come, but we don't hold on to them. So I think there's a few steps here we should consider. The first one is radical acceptance. It sounds fancy, but it's basically, in a nutshell, stop fighting reality. Life is messy and chaotic. It's painful. It's unfair. And yes, you will die at some point. Accept that. Because pretending none of this is going to happen, it's just going to prolong the suffering. Now, radical acceptance, it isn't giving up. It's acknowledging the situation so you can respond rather than react like a caffeinated raccoon or something. Okay, second step, radical honesty. Look at your own life, the regrets, the fears, all the moments where you ghosted yourself to avoid discomfort, and admit them. Out loud if you can, or on paper if that's preferable, or at least admit it to the ceiling fan at 3 a.m. It's a start. I personally think it can be amazing how liberating It is to say, I screwed up. I hurt somebody. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Because when you stop spinning narratives to hide your pain, the pain becomes navigable. Okay, then there's stoicism. And not the grim, emotionless version people seem to post on Instagram. This is real stoicism. It's simple. You can't control everything. You can't control the world or other people or all the random tragedies that just keep on happening. But you can control how you face them and how you react to them. I know it's not easy. It takes a lot of practice and a long time to get there. But you can choose perspective and courage and even gratitude for the absurdity of it all. Seneca didn't have Netflix or noise-canceling headphones, and yet somehow he made this work. So, I don't know. I like to think that we can do it too. Now, mindfulness is another tool, and I'm reluctant to use that word mindfulness these days because it seems to carry some negative connotation at this point. But I mean mindfulness not in the watered-down, airy-fairy version, but the sit down and really examine your thoughts without judgment version. So just try to feel the grief and the anxiety and the underlying cosmic dread and watch it, you know, watch it or observe it like you would a documentary, not a horror movie. It's subtle. And it's not sexy, but I find it to be annoyingly effective. And, okay, finally, small acts of courage. Like telling the truth, though it's easier to lie. Staying present when it's easier to scroll. And even just admitting that you're struggling without having to always hashtag it. These aren't life hacks. Think of it more like gym for the soul. The more you practice sitting with discomfort, the less it can paralyze you when it shows up uninvited. Now look, none of this is going to make suffering disappear. And that's not the objective here. It's not really going to make life easier. But I do think it will give some perspective and even some meaning. Pain becomes the curriculum instead of the punishment. And you might even start to notice that paradoxically, life is richer when you stop trying to anesthetize it all. And yeah, you know, there's some gallows humor in all this. I think it's kind of funny that the universe hands out suffering like an all-you-can-eat buffet. And then we spend our lives trying to avoid the dessert. But once you start tasting it honestly, without all the additives of the apps, you realize it's actually teaching you something. And it's not really joy or bliss. It's not permanent contentment or anything of that sort, but resilience and a different perspective, and maybe even a little clarity. And that, I think, changes things. Okay, so here we are, staring at the unvarnished truth that life is going to hurt. It's going to disappoint and confuse, frustrate, and, you know, sometimes it's going to terrify you. Now, there's no app, no smoothie or guru, and no motivational Instagram reel that's going to make it painless. But I think that's exactly the point. Because suffering isn't a glitch. It's the curriculum. It's the teacher nobody wanted, but the one we deserve and the one that I think actually matters. And the sooner we stop trying to dodge it, the sooner we stop being these hollow versions of ourselves, endlessly distracted by notifications and dopamine hits and, you know, that promise relief, but of course never deliver. All right. So here's the part where I usually ask the question, what do we do? How do we stop scrolling long enough to actually live with some authentic clarity? Well, I think maybe we just start by accepting that pain is not always the enemy. Pain is information. Pain is the mind and body saying, listen, this matters. And it's the suffering, the story we build around that pain, that drains us. The drama and the endless mental replays and, you know, the self-narration of how unfair it all is, that's optional. So Epictetus didn't get a vote in whether his body hurt when his master twisted his leg until it broke. But he did get a vote on whether he was going to let that define him. That's why his words echo thousands of years later, while most of our hot takes won't survive the week. And I think maybe that's the hidden freedom in all this. You don't get to escape pain, but you do get to decide how much unnecessary suffering you tack onto it. You know, you can collapse under the weight of existence, or you can treat it like resistance training for the soul. It's not particularly fun, I know. But I think it ultimately makes you stronger. And unlike your gym membership, it's free. So the next time that life hands you a fresh batch of chaos, maybe don't run from it immediately. Just try to sit with it, stare back at it, and say, okay, fine, I'll play. Because I think the deeper truth here is pain and suffering isn't what ruins us. It's what shapes us into people worth being. And everything else is just distraction. All right. That's all I got today. As always, thanks for watching.